Welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and wow, we got another great show lined up for you this week, because just like a couple weeks ago when I was able to get the wonderful Artemis Skenalides and Lisa Lewis on, it's always great when there's more people. And this week, I have two fantastic gentlemen from Mark Fisher Fitness, all the way in New York City, recording on Election Day 2016. I have Harold Gibbons and Jeffrey Hemingway. Harold, how are you?
Good, Kevin. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. And Jeff, you doing all right?
I feel absolutely incredible. That was the best buildup, I think,
yeah,
I've ever seen my entire life.
Did you get your sticker? Did you get your I voted sticker?
Yeah, I punched that ticket. I have a sticker. I put it on the fridge just to remember that I always voted.
we are making sure, you know, as you know, the FitCast has so much power in the world today that I didn't want to like support any candidates.
Yeah.
But really, all I want to support is more bicep curls and you know, potentially, you know, some ice cream on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think
that's on the ballot here in New York, actually. Mandatory
good
ice cream sundaes.
I did see that the Green Party was supporting more farmers' carries for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. See, this is what it's going to be all about. We're going to be voting for positive change, but it's going to be change that everyone can believe in, no matter what party you're behind. Okay, I think that's about enough election stuff for now. So let's get right into it, because, like, as I mentioned on that intro, you guys are at MFF. And the cool thing about MFF is, you know, not only have I had Mark Fisher on the show a couple times, Brian Patrick Murphy on the show a couple times, mm-hmm. I now get to have you two guys on the show. And it just shows, like, how deep MFF is and how incredible the staff is there every time that I get an opportunity to do so. And really, it's almost everyone that I know that knows you guys and knows the staff there. It's just always tons of praise. And I think it's – Harold, how long have you been there? 3 years now?
Yeah, I got there 3 years ago. I counted Perform Better. Perform Better Functional Summit at Rhode Island. That's like the anniversary day of when I met Mark and Brian and Kyle. Yeah.
Oh, you met them there?
Yeah. We were at a Thomas Plummer lecture, and Fisher asked a question about doing something in New York City. And I'm pretty sure Tom Plummer gave like the smoothest, I'm not taking that question, answer. And during a break, I turned around and was like, hey, like, I've seen some of your stuff online. What's going on? And we got to meet. I was with Billy Rahm, who was my boss at the time. And a few weeks later, Billy saw something on strengthcoach.com and was like, hey, Fisher's hiring. This seems good for you. And I was pissed at him at first. I was like, wait, you don't want me here? Because I was at Superior Athletics on Long Island. And he was like, no, dude, it's just not your jam. Like, baseball, high-performance baseball, as much as I think we've all been inspired by Cressy Performance.
Sure.
That just didn't really speak to my heart as much as making sure that our prototypical general population person was, like, nailing life and feeling good about it. And I came into the city for an interview, and I really haven't left since.
I can totally feel you on that, because I feel like when I was getting into college, like, the goal was, all right, I'm going to be the Boston Celtics strength coach because I can't play basketball, but I still want to be part of, if I can't get into the NBA as a player, I'm going to get in there as a strength coach. So
can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
That can't do, teach. So what I wanted to do was be a badass strength coach and then eventually make my way up there. But then what I found was, you know, it's awesome. Like, I still enjoy the opportunities to train, you know, the more experienced athletes, the pro level athletes, the college athletes, or whatever you'd say, the more genetically gifted folks and the hard workers and all that stuff. But, you know, I found over the years, I'm more drawn to, like, the kids that are almost, you know, I train mostly middle school kids, as you guys know. And it's for me, it's all about, like, trying to make the experience great for that kid that might not want to be there, or that might be all they're going to get out of strength and conditioning is that, hey, they're going to get stronger. They're going to be more confident, and it's not going to be anything that really helps them get an extra $2 million in their contract or a free ride to college. But instead, it's kind of like the way that we look at it for working with adults, just making sure that they're living a better life day to day. And, continuing to get better. So That is awesome. That's fantastic. And I should have prefaced a little bit more in the intro. Like, it is, it's been a real pleasure to get to know you guys over the years and to be able to, you know, hang out with you at things like the Perform Better Summits. It's another reason, you know, you just brought that up, Harold. That's a huge reason to go to those events. It's like you literally got a job out of it.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was going to those events forever taking notes, and I was copiously taking notes, and now I aggressively live tweet my notes.
But right.
it really is like not about like hearing Greg Cook talk again or hearing Mike Boyle talk again. Hmm. And I think that those are like prerequisites for anyone in the field, but it's about like hanging out with you, Kevin, in a Scottie Pippen jersey
at
the place formerly known as Reruss.
Yeah, I got that Scottie Pippen jersey not 10 feet from me right now, and I'm still thinking as I get ready to pack for Chicago this weekend if I will wear that. I might just actually coach the whole shirt in a Scottie Pippen jersey this weekend, because I think if I was going to be able to get away with it, that would probably be the location to do it, is in Northbridge, Illinois. So I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, this is the fun part of hosting and not being able to be next to you guys as we talk, is juggling two guests is always a blast. But Jeff, how long have you been at MFF now? Has it been about the same, like 3 years, or it's a little bit longer, right?
Yeah. I started about 6 months before Harold got there. Mm-hmm. And it's been an incredible experience. I didn't come from the exercise and sports world. I came in from the show business side of it. I knew Mark and Brian and those guys because we were all actors together before. And then things in that world kind of dried up for me. And my brother-in-law happens to be Dan John. So I...
Who's that?
Yeah, right? he's some guy. He's a Utah.
Is he a kettlebell instructor or something?
Yeah. He's a kettlebell instructor, guru, local Yoda. I decided I would really like to work at Fisher's place, and I went back home and worked with Dan for about 8 months, and you know, and have been at Fisher's ever since. So that was about 3.5 years ago, and so I'm still learning so much every day, and that's why I value, like you said, I value our relationship with places like MBSC and you and Kevin Carr and Rearick and also Dan, and just relationships that you started, Perform Better and functions like that, have really helped me as a coach educationally, because, you know, I'm still relatively new to this. So it's been very informative and a really great experience for me.
Well, Jeff, I'm kind of curious for people that are out there, and that, you know, I think the cool thing about this show is that the demographic is so wide. We have lots of people that listen to this that, you know, are personal trainers in the industry, strength coaches, people that, you know, are still in college, people that are always kind of flirting with the idea of, you know, I'm not happy with what I'm doing right now in my current career and jumping in. Like, that's kind of like another great thing about the summits, meeting the people who said like, yeah, your podcast made me quit my job and then go do something else.
Podcast is a resource, Kevin, has been incredible for me. Like, such great guests and such great interviews. I think of you as the fitness Dick Cavett. Which I think is the biggest praise ever.
Okay.
I mean, interview style is so great, and it's so chill, and you guys cover great topics. Like, I love this content. So thanks for putting it out there, man. You are a workhorse, and it's awesome.
I was literally just about to give Harold crap for tweeting right now, but of course I saw it that he was tweeting about the show. But yeah, I guess my question would be, and Jeff, I really appreciate that, and you guys are always super, super generous to me, is, you know, you guys now have a lot of people that are walking through your doors that are coming down to MFF and that are going to be asking you those questions like, all right, well, like, how do I get to, you know, where you guys are in the industry? Like, what's the right path to take? So I'm curious, Jeff, if you do have any kind of common things that, in terms of advice that you're giving to these people that are looking to either jump into the industry or just continue to make their way, you know, forward with their career.
I think that something that Jeff said in his answer for you before about his background story is really telling. And Jeff just said that he's been doing this for 3 years and he's still new to it. And I think that you get that answer out of great coaches, regardless of experience level. Like, I think that we get answers like that from Boyle and Dan John when they talk about the things that they're learning. And I think that somebody who's literally just got certified, if they're saying, hey, I'm still learning, then they're in the best position possible. Like if you're staying hungry and you're constantly ready to check your beliefs and your opinions as new information comes, I think that that mindset, that growth mindset, is probably going to be the most important thing. And then we could build experience on top of that. Yeah. But if you're not ready to learn stuff, then I don't think this is the field for you.
Well, it's also, you know, constantly evolving. But the thing that you mentioned is 100% on board. The people that get stuck in the same, you know, they're either at the same gym forever, making the same amount of money that they did, you know, 5-10 years ago. It's the people that did get their certification just said, I'm done. I'm going to do the same programs for the next 5 or 10 years. And then they get passed by all the, oh, those millennials, those up and comers that are, you know, actually going out to these seminars and stuff like that. And I think that's why, again, I do my best to push the crap out of any kind of event that is coming up where people yeah. can, you know, pick up 1, 2, 3 things that might be helping them every single or is the day that they get back from the event. But also at the same time, it's networking. It's people that, you know, it's what Harold did at Perform Better. And just, you know, just happening to be in the right room at the right time, hearing the right question get asked, and then all that stuff can happen.
I think too, it's, I've always thought of it as, you know, this is a thing, of course, that Dan taught me and also Coach Steve-O, who was on the last episode that I heard that was great. It's thinking about your prepositions, who your prepositions are, and your prepositions are anything a rabbit can do to a log. So it can go around it, it can go over it, it can go under it. So those people who are around you, who are over you, who are under you, and just make doing your best to surround yourself with people that you want to be around, that you respect, mm-hmm. that you identify with, their methodologies and whatnot. I think that's a great way to become the best coach you can be. Mm-hmm. With, you know, I started being a fan of kettlebells through Mark and Brian, and then kind of coincidentally learning that Dan was this gigantic kettlebell guru, and then moving from that, starting to read New Rules of Lifting by Lou Schuler and Alan Cosgrove, and then through that came into the Certified Functional Strength Coach program with you guys. And like, yeah. it's just been an amazing progressive because I sought out those people that I wanted to be surrounded with, and it's worked out really well. And I think if people do that, kind of follow their bliss with the people that they want to surround themselves with, that's the best way to success, I find.
Yeah.
This is Jeff, by the way. I think we sound a lot alike. So we should say our names before.
I can tell the difference, but yeah, I can definitely. It's actually, like, I was on this other podcast for a couple months helping these guys out, and people got me confused with another guy that's like from a different territory with a different accent than me. So yeah. I think it's just, you know, some people hear, they can't hear the distinction. So yeah, we can try to bounce back and forth with all that stuff. But I want to, I guess one of the questions that I absolutely wanted to talk to you guys about, because, you know, I will preface again, if you haven't been to, you know, Mark Fisher Fitness, if you don't know what that is, you know, it would behoove you to not, I think I'm using that word correctly, if you did not go to the website, check it out, check out some YouTube videos, check out the kind of the vibe of the gym, the community that you guys have built there, to see what makes it so great. Where, you know, I've talking with Mark about this in the past. I talked about this with Steve-O last week, like you were mentioning, Jeff, is like, you know, Mark found a market that was being served. It wasn't being served in terms of like people not being able to feel comfortable going to a gym, potentially. So finding a place that worked really well from people of the stage and saying like, hey, you can come here, you can be comfortable. There's other people that I know in the Boston area that are making gyms that you can, no matter who you are, no matter what your skill level, no matter what you like, you can come here, you can be yourself, you can be comfortable. And that's what you guys have built there. But with my long-winded question and setup, I'm very curious for your opinions on why you think Mark Fisher Fitness is so successful in what it does to the point where you guys are now opening up a second facility. Who would like to start?
You should know, Kevin, and audience of the FitCast, Jeff and I both just pointed at each other and made eye contact and nodded.
Yeah.
That could be the start of the answer. I think that the entire team of MFF, like everyone on the family, is so happy to share in – is so happy to share. Yeah. And we have a culture where everyone on the training team is able to contribute to the general ideas of, hey, how are we going to do this? We have a culture where the business team gets to share their ideas and constantly refine their practice. And I think that because of that atmosphere that the team drives every day, we get to share that same sort of experience with the ninjas. And we have people who might have never lifted a kettlebell before. And we have people who are group exercise junkies, and they come in and it's their second workout of the day, and they've got spin class tomorrow morning, and they have a yoga class tomorrow night, and they're going to come back and lift at MFF 2 days after that. And rather than saying, hey, here's how you do it, I think that the really only fine, hard rule of how we do things at MFF is that we make sure that you're in charge of figuring out how you're doing things. And I think that because of that empowerment and that, if we get really nerdy about it, if we're using these strategies from self-determination theory and we're trying to create an environment where people are making decisions that are meaningful to them, then we're driving that individual empowerment that I don't think regularly happens in training. And from my lens, the view that I have of it, the more we're empowering our ninjas, the more the team is empowering each other. I think that that really, really creates an environment that people are drawn to and want to stay in because it's fulfilling, far more so than exercise traditionally is for a lot of our ninjas, where we have bad phys ed backgrounds or bad experiences with workouts or not really being taken care of. And I think that more than anything else, we empower the ninjas to take care of themselves in their time at MFF.
Well, you guys have a pretty open setup for your staff meetings where, you know, not to get into details, but, you know, talking to, you know, multiple staff members of the past, like you guys are very, very open and very frank in discussions and very, you have the ability to be absolutely honest with your opinions on how things are going or are changes that, you know, could potentially be made at the gym or the programming or on the business side of stuff or whatever, which seems to be really vital for the continued, you know, enthusiasm for what you guys are doing, to feel like you do have that ownership of MFF.
Yeah, I mean, I think so much of what we do in our meeting and at MFF, this is Jeff, by the way. At the meeting, we're trying to be absolutely transparent with each other because we spend so much time together on the floor and teaching class and everything, that if we are resentful towards each other or if there are things that are repressed and allowed to fester, then it could really be detrimental to the team. And especially when we're trying to get a new location off the ground and that kind of thing, like the smoother we can make the water, the better. And I think that that carries over into the experience that we try and craft for our clients or ninjas, which makes us successful in our niche and then successful as a club in general. You know, we started catering to the Broadway community mainly because most of our coaches were former stage actors. And Mark likes to bill us as the island of misfit toys, or right. You know, we have a space for people who hate going to the gym. And a lot of people who are actors and whatnot, you know, first got into drama club or got into music because they had bad experiences with sports or high school coaches who were dicks to them, or, you know, whatever their background that made them shy away from sports. And so we pride ourselves on giving them this place where they can come in and let their freak flag fly and feel comfortable enough to explore their full potential. And I think a lot of what we do when, you know, we wear a lot of costumes and we play a lot of silly music, and because we're trying to show them that we're willing to look like assholes so that they don't have to worry about looking stupid in the gym. You know, if I'm wearing a chicken suit, you're not going to really care what you look like doing your first couple deadlifts. You know, we're going to get through this together because I'm willing to look stupid. So you don't have to worry about that. And I think that's crucial for any coach and client relationship, you know, just because when you're learning new things, you're going to look silly. You've never done this stuff before, and right. You have to be willing to do it wrong so you can learn how to do it right.
Okay, there's a couple other places I want to go. I mean, one is definitely going to be talking about the event that you guys had 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to screw up the name right now, but it is the Something in Movement Lab, correct?
Yeah, the Motivation in Movement Lab.
Yeah. Thank you. I forgot the most important part. So you guys put that on, I believe it was two weekends ago now, and Kevin Carr and Valentina from our facility came down to go and check that out. So I was wondering if both of you could just kind of talk a little bit about how that went, what you talked about, and maybe hitting on briefly a little bit about the lecture, the discussion that you did, and why you did it.
Yeah, great. I'll give you like a rundown of where it came from, and then I'll let Jeff presented at this one, which is rad, and he absolutely crushed it. So after going to a few Perform Betters and then getting into some like the deeper things in fitness land, the thing that sticks in my head the most is like going to some PRI events. What do they call them? Clinics, conferences? I went to some PRI events, and I realized that as you get to these deeper levels of learning where it's a little bit more academic, there's less room for engagement with the content and less room for engagement with your peers. And in some ways, when we first came up with this idea of a motivation movement lab, we were thinking about how can we flip that traditional conference lecture all day vibe and create something that's a little bit closer to a conversation. So it's not a presenter who's speaking down to you, but a conversation with people who are sitting in a circle or across from you, and you can work with your fellow classmates. So we did two of them so far. We've done three so far. We had two where we had some guests come in. Tony Gentilcore has been at them. Artemis, who was just on the show, she was at our second one. Pete Dupuy, who is the business brains behind Cressy Sports Performance and is like just one of the nicest dudes ever. He came and killed it, which is amazing. And Steve-O was at the last one. We've got these really good minds coming in to talk about some of the content that they use. And then the thing that's the most important to us is after the presenters give this 20-minute presentation, we go into a 45-minute working session where you get to workshop those actual ideas. So rather than saying, awesome, Kevin, Mike Boyle, strength and conditioning, this is how you guys program, I'm going to write down some notes and then figure out how to do that on Monday morning, you would be in there with the people at the lab figuring out exactly what to do. So you don't leave and figure it out. You figure it out before you leave. This last one that we just had, at MFF, it was our most intimate lab, and we kept it pretty small so that we could have more of that connection. And on this one, we really wanted to focus on the MFF team being able to share their ideas rather than bringing in, I like to call them outside faculty. Yeah. Rather than having guest faculty at this one, it was just the MFF team. So Brian Patrick Murphy talked about what happens when we do our initial interactions with ninjas. Instead of calling it a consultation, we have a health and hotness strategy session. He talked about why building that relationship is really important. Then Jeff talked about being a good host. And Jeff, tell us about being a good host.
I mean, I just kind of carried on from Brian's talk. Once we established that initial relationship with a new client, how to make every interaction with them tailor-made to their specific likes and dislikes, and creating an environment, like I said before, where they feel safe enough to explore their potential in the weight room, and just you know, the power of listening to them and doing your research, knowing what they can and can't handle. So how to inform your programming and keeping your progressions and regressions in your back pocket, just in case, you know, you're encountering a lot of people at different skill levels at a time. Which is so much that I learned from Certified Functional Strength Coach with you guys. You guys do that so well, having your baseline movements and then your progressions and regressions and lateralizations at hand. I found that very informative. And I think that's crucial to making people feel comfortable. You know, you're letting them know that even though they're in a strange space and they're trying new things, that, you know, you've got their back, literally.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me see. I want to see if we can figure this out a little bit, because what I've noticed, and this is something that we actually talked about in our staff meeting today at MBSC. Mike he's away in London, so Kevin Carr ran the show, and we used some of those practices to try to help our staff with communication with each other and with the people that we were going to potentially be helping. And
that's neat.
Yeah.
That's so neat. That's awesome.
So we did our 5-minute circuits of like having to continuing to ask questions to each other and making sure that the conversation keeps going. Like the idea of trying to, like it goes back to, you know, the discussions that we had about, all right, well, you want to try to figure out exactly why these people are coming through that door. And it's like usually never, oh, yeah, I'm just losing 15 pounds for the summer. I just want to, you know, start off 2017 and in the best shape of my life and turning 40 and whatever it is. And like asking those questions like, okay, well, why do you want to lose 15 pounds? It's because, yeah, whatever, I want to be in best shape at 40. Okay, well, why do you need to be at the best shape at 40? Well, it's because I want to make sure I can continue to run around with my kids outside and not feel like I have to go to sleep right after I be sore the next day. All right, well, why is that important to you? It's like, oh, because I just want to make sure that I spend all this. This is the most important time, you know, in my life right now with these, my kids growing up. These are special time that I'll never get back. And like kind of getting a little bit deeper. I think that stuff is super important. So that's a really great tool to make use of. I think that was from BPM's talk, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And like aside from that, I've, again, from coming into MFF, from spending lots of time with you guys, whether it be on Skype or at seminars or even in New York City, and you guys are just like the nicest friggin' people in the world.
Thanks, man.
No, but you, but I guess what I mean, of course you are. But also this is one of the things that we brought up today is like, you know, no matter what, one of the biggest things that makes you guys such great coaches is that you give so much of a shit, like almost to the point of like, man, these guys care more about me than like my mom does. Like what the hell is going on? Like it is the idea of asking those questions or, you know, remembering everything that we've talked about in the last 3 years and being able to recall that stuff. So I guess my question, and I don't know if there is an answer to this, is like, are those skills that people can develop, or is this just something that is, you know, more or less ingrained from, you know, from earlier in life?
I mean, I think it can be learned.
Yeah.
I think you can teach yourself tricks to find a genuine interest in every interaction with people. My personal belief is it's finding the questions that are important to you. And Brian Patrick Murphy talks about having your personal icebreaker. So when you do introduce yourself to somebody and then you have that follow-up question, where are you from originally, or what is a hobby that you have, or whatever it is, those things that you're genuinely interested in somebody, that's the key, I think, is knowing what really drives you and being able to engage in that interaction with another person.
Yeah. It's tricky because I'm aware that I would contraindicate my previous answer. I would like contradict myself if I said no, those are like inherent traits that would like you can't grow, because like you absolutely can. I don't know if there are things that we completely intellectualize and we like actively practice as much as it's like a byproduct. I know that Kyle Langworthy gives me shit all the time, because when I got to MFF, I was so much more of a technician, and I was like, hey, here's the algorithm, here's the formula, let's follow that. And if we're not following that, let's reset and figure out how to follow it better. And now I'm far more keen on rewriting this algorithm or system that we have to make sure that it is more emotionally supportive for people. But I don't think that was like a conscious decision. We learn a lot, and in our environment, it's such an aggressive growth rate that I think it just becomes second nature. And sometimes we're really, really focused on the serious fitness side of things. And sometimes we're really, really focused on the ridiculous human side of things. And I think more than all of that, we're always focused on just having the biggest heart possible. And if we can love everyone around us with unconditional positive regard, then we're better as coaches and we're better as people. And really with our training, we're not trying to make ninjas more fit. We're trying to help them get the tools and to give them the tools to live their best life. And I think that in the process of that, we end up becoming better versions of ourselves as coaches. Does that answer your question, Kevin?
It does. And maybe I can follow up a little bit with just, you know, from personal experience type stuff is like you probably, and this is, I think I talked about this a little bit on the show, but like I've definitely noticed over the last like 2 years as I've become a little bit more comfortable with myself and, that I've, always, you know, I always make the effort to be more positive when I'm in my coaching atmosphere. Always, as soon as I walk into the gym, it's like, you know, simple things like making sure that you're saying more than just, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And making sure that there is an actual interaction with everyone that you see as you walk through the door. Actually makes you feel way better too. It is a very symbiotic relationship with the people that you can have if you know, you are a positive person and always trying to make their lives better. It in many cases almost universally will also do the same for you.
Man, I think you just hit the nail on the head so much, and saying people's names too means so much to them,
right?
Even in that brief interaction, you know, moving from hey to hey Harold, right, is just a huge step in the right direction in those kind of situations too.
Yeah.
I think it's the key to setting yourself up for success. And we're fortunate in this is just trying to love what you do as much as you can. Mm. And we have such a great space because we have a great team, and I look forward to our team meetings still. And I look forward to going to work every day. Yeah. And I think that is key, being open to finding those things that you love about your job, that you love about coaching. That's going to help you in the long term stay more positive and be more open to those opportunities that you can make a difference in your clients' lives.
I'm trying to figure out where I necessarily want to. I think maybe that's maybe the best place to kind of cap that off. I also wanted to just like quickly say, now, from knowing lots of people in this industry, I think that's the biggest thing that turns me off from not wanting to have them back on the show, or like not wanting to, you know, talk to them again. It's like literally, you know, every interaction is an opportunity to make or break a relationship.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, you kind of see it sometimes in the fitness industry. If you kind of come in and have a bad day, that might be okay once, but when you do it again, like at some point your clients are going to be, or your athletes are going to be, I don't want to hang out with Harold. Like he's always like making, you know, nasty expressions, and you know, he's just like no fun. Like it's like, I want to avoid him in the gym kind of thing. And that's the last thing that you want is someone that is providing a in-person service where that you need to be there for that service to be delivered.
Right.
That's super important. Fun times. All right.
And
so
you want to talk about Star Wars and video games now? Is that how this goes?
Well, this is episode, this is going to be what? Episode 413.
Yeah.
413 of this podcast. And yeah, you know, there's always going to be times to sprinkle in some non-fitness related stuff, and it's always good to keep it positive. What you guys play a lot of music from the 1980s.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're making, you know, the ultimate, I'm going to make sure I go hard, finish strong, What tracks are you going to put on that to make sure that you have an outstanding training session, even if you only got four hours of sleep the night before you coached the last 8 hours. But hey, you still want to get in a good lift. What are we going to put on this thing?
Like a top five list?
Yeah, can you guys both give me five tracks that would make sure that you had a great training session that people could potentially pick up on Spotify or their other favorite music on demand service?
My top 80s tracks, this is Jeff, by the way, and I lived through the 80s. I think Harold was still a fetus.
I was negative eight for most of them.
Thanks a lot.
Are we going only 80s playlists?
You can do whatever you want.
I mean, yeah, you can do it. You can do whatever you want, but I think there's a certain tone and optimism of, you know, the soundtracks of the 1980s. Like, not, it doesn't have to even be soundtracks, but you think of like the optimism that you get from the Karate Kid.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm ready, son. I got you. I would say "Take Me Home Tonight" by Eddie Money.
Yeah,
love that one.
Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't. With Topher Grace?
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, I'll watch it. I'll take that recommendation. Also, "Eye of the Tiger," "Survivor." Come on.
Okay.
"You're the Best Around" by Joe the Bean Esposito for your Correct. Karate Kid reference. I love that one. "Just a Little" or "A Little Respect" by Erasure.
Right.
And then to cap it all off, I'm going to go "Thunderstruck" by AC/DC, like middle school gym class. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you get to listen to that in middle school gym class?
Oh, you bet. That was like ninth grade, man. Waking up when you knew you had to run the mile, the 20 laps around the track, because it was snowy as hell in the mean streets of Salt Lake City.
They made our kids, like yesterday, the kids in my group had to do a 3 mile run and they were toast.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of worried. It's like 3 miles isn't that bad, but I guess like in the middle of school day, it's kind of rough.
Yeah.
Jeez. What about you, Harold? What's your...
So guys, full disclosure, I just went to Spotify on my phone and searched 80s playlists just because like I don't want to mess this up, and I definitely party a little bit harder than this. Like if I would play this in like a week one or two class in the 4 week cycle at MFF, if I was lifting on my own, I get a little bit rowdier than this. I would go with like any classic Michael Jackson.
That's so vague, man. That's bullshit.
You don't like that answer.
I want you to get specific. You want specific, right, Larrabee?
Yeah.
That's garbage. All right,
the final count. I'll hit some Michael Jackson in a second.
Okay.
The final countdown from Europe.
Okay.
Is
like Joe Bluth.
Yeah.
Or sorry, Buster Bluth.
I want that to just like throw down. 99 Luft Balloons. Okay. That's a good one. What else? What's like a? I'm sorry, the 80s were not my jam. Now I listen to like hip hop remixes and death metal. So
that's true.
I'm not sure. Cult of Personality from Living Color is probably one of the best lifting songs from the 80s.
What about Panama? I love that
song. Not as much.
I love that song.
It's the 80s were tricky because like on this 80s hits playlist, I've got some Herbie Hancock when he played Rocket and like got some digital stuff in there with like the rest of his jazz.
You can edit this part out, right, Kev?
No, we're going to just leave it all in. We're going to let him suffer.
Great.
I'm letting Jeff down. Jeff is the protector of the 80s music playlist. That's and right. He's giving me the
shade. Real shade.
He's throwing the shade. You know that phrase. That's really good.
What does that mean? Because I'm old?
No, because normally you say pound sign instead of hashtag.
Yeah, that's true.
Pound sign.
Has been the, yeah, pound sign Fidcast. Pound sign Kevin Larrabee kicks ass.
All right. I feel like I need to take this over. So I'm gonna have to give you guys some good music.
Oh yeah, hit us with it. What are your jams?
Okay, so this is going to be first. You got to have Stevie Wonder. Don't have "I Wish" Stevie Wonder, that will get you fired up, and it's a really good song if you're going to be doing some repetitive stuff, like if you're riding an Airdyne bike, or if you're pushing a sled, or you're doing some shuttles or whatever. That's a really good track.
I love "Do I Do" by him.
Hell yeah, man. Oh, God, yeah. Stevie. Hey, like, if you think about it, you probably have heard more Stevie Wonder songs in your life than any other artist because...
Samples.
Right, yeah. Samples and his music has been in every single advertisement ever.
You bet. Right.
Which is kind of nuts. Or if you've seen Wild Wild West. So,
oh, yeah, that's good.
Right, so...
I wish.
I think you have to have some Jackson 5 in there. So you got to go. It's a toss up, but I think we can mostly all agree on ABC as being their best song of all time.
Absolutely.
I mean, I Want You Back is the right song depending on the situation that you're in. Yeah. But that's a little bit of a toss up.
I'm a big Blame It on the Boogie fan too, the Jacksons, but you know, I love that.
Oh my God. Do you guys remember the joke about the OJs?
No.
What's that show from? I think it's from the Chappelle Show. Anyway, moving on from that, if we're talking about 80s, I think that you have a toss up depending on the population that you're working with. They might be sensitive, so you might need to use the edited version. But I think either Straight Outta Compton or Gangsta Gangsta.
I
think those are the two songs that you would have to go to, and that is 1989.
Hey, I got something to say. I love that shit.
Yeah, that's very, very good. And then if we're going to cap it all off, if I can only go one more song from the 80s, I think you got to go Huey Lewis in the News.
I was just going to say, man, I would like Power of Love or like what?
Okay. Well, let's okay, if we're going Huey, I can't believe, guys, you know what? This is Just give me one show to talk about some good gym music. All right,
I would love to do that.
Yeah,
no, I'm just saying for the people that are listening and the outstanding Patreon supporters that are supporting this show.
Yeah, I paid $2 for this.
That is true. So, making sure that you can get some good Huey Lewis in the News, and I think you could go Back in Time or Power Love. I think anything from the Back to the Future 1 soundtrack would be totally appropriate.
Yeah.
And those are all from the 1980s.
You can just put on the whole sports album and just,
yeah, dude, sport. I never realized in that movie that was the album art for the Huey Lewis and the News track or CD. I thought it was strictly like that Marty McFly loved sports and he liked pool.
Yeah.
No, so he had a poster in his bedroom because, of course, you have like a poster of a football field if you like football.
Of course. Anyways. You just loved all sports.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good ones.
So, anyways, I think maybe the last question that I have for you guys is as people that are continuing to try to get better, to improve themselves, to improve your ability to help others reach their goals and aspirations. What has made, and keep in mind, we're getting towards the end of 2016, guys. It's really close to the end. We're wrapping this thing up.
Yeah.
Like for the course of this year, is there anything, any like a lesson or educational opportunity that you had that really stands out and be like, yeah, that's 2016. This is a thing that I'm going to carry over, you know, as I go forward.
I feel so introspective. I got to think about that. Do you have one that came right to mind?
I got to go to DC and spend some time with the guys at Strength Faction, Todd Bumgardner and Chris Merritt out there.
Yeah.
And, I went to it was a Bill Hartman PRI one day, and I just found it very informative. I really enjoyed meeting Bill. He simplifies everything so much. And Todd Bumgardner and Chris Merritt are doing great things with Strength Fashion, training for trainers, and their blog is great. And it was just a nice couple of days to spend with them and see what they're up to and see their space and how they're operating in DC. It was just a very cool opportunity.
Yeah.
I like that very much.
That's amazing.
Especially PRI is kind of foreign to me, and I'm, you know, still learning about it. God, it's fascinating. And I find it so complex. I'm not that smart. But seeing Bill Hartman talk about it was so great because it's so accessible. It was very, very informative.
Yeah.
That's I love that.
Thank you.
Harold, what do you got?
I'd be remiss to say that Bill Hartman, I think, is one of the best translators of complex fitness information into less complex fitness information. Like that man is
the first fitness presenter I ever saw in my career.
That's cool.
Really? Bill was?
Yeah, not bad. Like almost starting the show with a showstopper there.
Yeah, that's
back in 2006.
That's awesome. That's great. On the professional front, I think that because of some of the work of like the MFF team, where people are getting so passionate about like sharing what they learn and what they want to teach to other people. I've definitely learned a ton from everyone at MFF, from people on the team, as far as how they want to share information and what things are important to them. And that's both with our training team right now, but also from people who reach out and are like, hey, I want to do this presentation, or I want to share this idea, or I'm not sure how to learn more so that I have better mastery. And for me, the best educational experience I've had recently is being able to have like personal conversations with people. If we're in person or on the phone, I really suck at responding to text messages because I just leave my phone on mute all the time.
Weird. Or like emails and stuff. Is that a problem for you?
Yeah. It depends. My MFF email, I'm trying to nail that more. But Kevin,
that was a callback to you not replying to emails for the show.
If you email my personal email, then I'm just like a little bit slower on there.
Okay.
But some of that I'll loop back around to. I think that self-care is something that we could talk about in terms of like blowing up a balloon or foam rolling. But we're in a field where it's so aggressive all the time and everything is go, 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 that a lot of my off the clock time is spent. I'm like, hey, how can I recover? How can I be less stressed? And I think that if you recover more, if you're like a little bit better prepared, you can go into that next training session. If you're coaching, if you're working out yourself, it's a little bit easier to get in there. And so that's my other thing. It's like, if you're going to hit it, if you're going to train, if you're going to be a coach, be the best damn coach you can be and give it everything that you've got. But you better know when to shut that down and start recovering your energy so that you're not burned out and tired and
right. Sad,
upset all the time.
Damn, those are pretty good, guys.
Thanks, man. You're pretty good.
Yeah, I think we're all gonna no matter who loses today, we win.
Yeah, we exactly. Win. I know I'm getting drunk either way.
Are you? That
maybe happy drunk, maybe sad drunk. It's a fine line. It's a real fine line.
Well, all we need to remember is that, you know, no matter where you're listening to this from, we actually have a pretty strong audience in Brazil. What's up, Brazil?
Hi. Brazil.
Yeah, say what's up.
I prepared my Portuguese.
Rio 2017. Anyways, I don't know. So anyways, we got to keep in mind that we're all in this together, especially if you're listening to this show. It's all about helping others and making sure that, you know, we're helping people improve their quality of life and figuring out what they really want to do when they come to us for assistance in terms of improving whatever they like to improve. With that being said, could you guys let people know where they can find out more about you or keep up to date with what you're doing, starting with Harold?
Oh, yeah. Team, I have a website. It's haroldgibbons.com. On the Instagram and the Twitter, it's @Harold_Gibbons. And then there's some information about MFF's Motivation and Movement Lab at motivateandmove.com. Jeff.
Hi, everybody. I'm just on Facebook. I don't know. It's GFF for Jeff. Thanks, Mom and Dad. GEOFFREY Hemingway, HEMINGWAY. Or you can find me at Mark Fisher Fitness, 411 West 39th Street in Manhattan at all times. I'm pretty much always there.
You are.
Or, you know, send me an email or whatever. Come lift weights with us. Come check us out and see the unicorns and the rainbows. And it's a spectacular place.
Yeah, it is. It's magical. Come visit. Come join.
Love it. Well, I think that is where we're going to kind of close the book today for you folks out there. And again, you're probably listening to this a couple of days later. I know that you are. But thank you so much for your continued support. Thank you so much to those Patreons, those people that are making one-time or monthly donations via PayPal at the link on fitcast.network. It means so much to have your support, because that is what allows me to continue to do this show every single week. And as you know, some people have said in the past, it really is a vote of confidence in the content that's being created And hopefully you value this content, and it would mean so much if you are able to help out in return by supporting this show with a monetary donation. It means a lot. And Jeff, thank you so much for donating $2 per episode. That's a ton of money, dude.
I wish I could give more. Love you.
I didn't know that you were, so I kind of don't like it when hosts or guests come on and support the show, because you're doing it with your time and with your support of the show outside of that. But thank you so much.
For the past 2 years, it's my pleasure, pal.
So we got lots of great shows coming up for you guys. I will be in Chicago this weekend, but coming up next week, I really don't know. We'll figure that out as things go along. But thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Have a great week, and you have a great 80s playlist to start your workout today. Take care.